We're going to be emphasizing John 3:16 tonight. Many of us know it. It's a familiar verse, but I want to encourage us with just a consideration of what is this season all about? What is Christmas all about from a biblical perspective? Let me ask you a question. What is the greatest gift you have ever been given? The greatest gift here on this earth, then, as you receive something that somebody has given to you. Maybe as parents, you say, my children, right? All right, that's precious. I can echo that. That's phenomenal. You may look back to your childhood days and there was something that just captivated you and just something that has stuck with you that was very special to you. I'm sure that as you think back through the years, you may be reminded of many wonderful gifts. What is it that makes a gift more special than another? Is it the value of the gift? How much it cost? Is it the giver of the gift? Who gave it to you? Does that make a gift really special to you? What about the impact of the gift? How it impacted your life in one way or another? Maybe it's the content of the gift. What was in it? What is it that makes a gift most valuable? Well, consider Christ, Jesus, as the gift that God has given to us. Would you consider that with me tonight? We're going to look at a few points here. We're going to emphasize John 3:16, though, as I already said. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so this speaks of God's great love. When you think of what gives a gift value, there's times where you've received a gift and the gift itself doesn't have much value to it. It may not even been something that you wanted. Anybody ever have anything like that? Don't raise your hand. Dad's probably you got some ties, right, that you can go back to. But the reality is there's sometimes that the gift itself really wasn't that special. But what made it special is who gave it to you and the love that gift was kind of clothed in. That made the gift that much more special, even though the gift itself really, I could have done without it. But because of who gave it to me and the love that they expressed by giving it to me, that made that gift. All right, this is something special. It's a memory that you cherish. Well, consider God's great love in giving us the gift of His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. See, this great love that God has shown to us in giving us His Son, it is important for us to understand the great need that we have in order to better understand this great gift. If we don't understand our need, it's hard to understand the gift. And that takes it to another side of it. We just briefly commented on the idea of the giver of the gift and how the love that they give it with, it makes it so special. But there's also those times where you've been given a gift because it has met a need in the perfect timing and it's been exactly what you needed. It makes that gift so much more special, doesn't it? Well, consider our need. What was the need that we had? Why God would have to give His Son? Well, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death. What we earn because we sin is death. And that's a pretty severe need, isn't it? The Bible tells us, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one is righteous. No one is good enough. No one. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. All of us fall short of the perfection that God requires for us to gain entrance into heaven. And that's a great need. And God says, because of that need, what we earn because we sin, we deserve death. Death is separation. Death speaks of being separated from God for all of eternity. But the beautiful reality is that God provided for that great need. That's an amazing thing. That's what makes this season so phenomenal, that if we overlook the great need that we have and overlook the great gift that has been given to meet that great need, Christmas becomes just a Hallmark holiday. Not that special, except for being able to spend time with family, which is an amazing thing. But, oh, to have it gain extra degree of value as we understand the real meaning for the season. So the nature of it is that in our sinful state, we all fall short of God's perfect standard in order to gain entrance into heaven to spend eternity with Him. But that first verse that we looked at, Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death," it doesn't start out very well. It shows us our great need. But the rest of the verse really helps us out tremendously. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The gift of God, what God gives. Now, how much do you pay for a gift that is given to you? Nothing. If you paid anything for that gift that was given to you, would it be a gift? God has given us the gift of His Son. He's laid it out for us. Here it is. And what do you do with a gift? Christmas morning or your birthday, you simply receive that gift and you open it up. See what's inside. Well, that's what God desires for us. God wants us to receive that gift that He has given us. He wants us to open up and He wants to see what it's all about. Well, let's talk about it. What is it all about? God, who is rich in mercy, sent His Son, Jesus, as the gift of eternal life to meet that profound need that we have. Again, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." He so loved the world. That word "so," just two letters, very simple. Doesn't seem like much, does it? But it emphasizes the degree to which God gave that gift. He so loved the world. Not just, He so loved the world. He so loved the world. It is emphatic, the degree to which God loves us. This is a statement of God's love. It's a statement of sacrifice. This is a statement of God's love for us, as He didn't give us what we wanted most. Because when you think about it, many of us, for a long time, much of our lives, we didn't even consider Christ as being a gift at all. Why is that even important? But God didn't give us what we wanted. He gave us what we needed. He gave us what we needed. He looked beyond our selfish desires. Selfish. We are all selfish. I mean, you think about it. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, right? Go sit up on Santa's lap and say, "Hey, this is my laundry list of things that I want." Right? How often do we ask for something for somebody else? See, we're selfish by nature, and that's a reality. But the reality is that God didn't seek to meet our selfish desires. Knowing us well enough, He knew our greatest need. And that need was, we need to be saved from our sins. He then moved heaven and earth to provide that for that need, as He gave us a Savior. And He wrapped Him in swaddling clothes, and He was laid in a manger. Someone once wrote, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist or Steve Jobs. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was of the need of forgiveness. And so God sent us a Savior." God didn't hold anything back. He loves us so much that He gave us His most precious gift. When you think about it, fathers, as you have a son, there's something special about that relationship. There is something special about a son. There is something special about any child that you have. as you consider that child that you have, however many children you have. And what a blessing it is that you have this relationship with this little life, precious life, as a tremendous gift that's been given to you. And you consider that God moved heaven and earth to give us His Son, His most precious, priceless Son. This is the degree to which the Father loves us. He so loved the world. It is a transcendent kind of love. It transcends human understanding when you think about the degree to which our God loves us. His love knows no bounds. It's love that is unceasing. It's love that keeps on giving. It's a love that gives its best and holds nothing back. This is the kind of love that is demonstrated in how our Father, our Heavenly Father, loves us. He loves us so much. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us, "But God commendeth," or demonstrated, "He proved His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," sinning against God, He sent His Son Jesus to die for us. And so there we have God's great love. But consider now with me the great message of Christmas. What's the message of Christmas? That's the message of God's love is really the overriding theme of Christmas, God's tremendous love. The narrative of the Christmas story, it has a storyline that only God could have come up with. It's a story at odds with the norms, filled with paradoxes, striking at the heart of logic. It just doesn't make sense when you think about it. God, His Son is in heaven with Him, and He left heaven to come down to be born as a baby. The Creator of this world took on human flesh and became a baby who learned how to walk with the feet that He created. He learned how to talk with the mouth that He created. Doesn't that strike in the face of logic and common sense? And just doesn't it blows our mind when we think of this is what our God did for us. To the world, it makes no sense that our God would send His Son to be born in such lowly conditions and die for sinful people. Consider the greatness of this Christmas story, the paradox of the cradle and the cross. The cradle and the cross. This is the story of the birth of the child born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. The story of the greatest gift ever given. The story of grace and mercy, hope and love. The story of humility and sacrifice. The story of the God of heaven looking down upon His creation and sending His Son to be the gift of life to a lost and dying world. This amazing story is the story of Christmas. It's the story of the cradle and the cross. What do I mean? Well, the Father's love came to fruition and put on full display in Bethlehem. With a cradle, the manger, and then again in Calvary, Mount Calvary, with a cross. I don't know if you realized or if you saw as you came in today, this evening, we have a cross that's sitting right out here to my right. As you're walking up, it's on your left, right at the left corner of the building, and it's lit up, and in front of it is a manger. That's the message of Christmas. Maybe as you leave tonight, if you didn't see it coming in, maybe you'd stop and take a look at it. And just consider the message of the cradle and the cross. The cradle and the cross. What do these words mean to you? What do these words mean? A cradle and a cross. Very odd to put those together. The cradle is a picture of innocence and expectation, isn't it? The cross, on the other hand, brings to mind pain and suffering, torture and death. So for them to be put together seems kind of odd, especially in the context of Christmas. Truth be told, the greatest story the world has ever known is wrapped up in these words. These words of innocence and expectation, of pain and suffering, of torture and death. These two words, when boiled down, reveal a profound contrast, yet powerful and life-giving reality. The cradle is a picture of new life, while the cross is a picture of death. As we consider the cradle and the cross, we see the true reason for this Christmas season. It's all about Jesus Christ. So let's consider, what's the message of the cradle? The message of the cradle, it brings memories to parents. Think back to those early days. When you first brought your little baby home. Memories of anticipation, what this child might become. Coinciding, of course, with those sleepless nights, being delirious, wondering, am I able to continue on this process? Will I get through? But I think for us, at least, for me, as I look back on those times that we had that cradle in our bedroom with the baby sleeping in the cradle, it's a precious time. You look back on it and there's fond memories. The fondness of those memories outweigh the sleepless deliriousness, pulling your hair out. But the reality is that those sleepless nights that were deliriously questioning my own abilities as a parent handling this great responsibility, I want us to keep that in the forefront of our minds as we consider this wonderful expectation. But there's also that the weight of responsibility that coincides with that cradle. The story of Christmas unfolds as the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph. And in the book of Luke, we read these words, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Talk about responsibility. Talk about anticipation. The weight of the responsibility that this announcement brings. Yet Mary, how does she respond? "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according unto thy word." All right, you say it, I will obey. You can only imagine. Next, we find Joseph struggling with the news of his pregnant fiancée and what he should do. But while he thought on these things, the Bible says, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." I remember back to the days as I was anticipating the birth of our first child, Cassie. Thoughts of this soon coming responsibility of fatherhood at times was heavy, weighty, oppressive at times. Oh no! What did we do? Am I ready for this? I'm sure to some degree this announcement put Joseph's mind at ease, understanding that his fiancée had not been unfaithful. Yet he too has just received a heavenly announcement filled with anticipation, being weighted down with a great responsibility. Think about it. He has now been told, you will be raising the one who will save the people, this world from their sins. Talk about weight of responsibility. Yet, without delay, he obediently took steps of obedient faith. In the second chapter of Luke, additional characters come into this narrative. The anticipation finally reaches a crescendo as the birth of this child we see as in Luke chapter 1 and verse 7, Jesus was born, they laid him in swaddling clothes in a manger. Then we see heavenly angels, this heavenly announcement given where more angels come in and they're singing and praising God, making this heavenly announcement of the birth of the Lamb of God to lowly shepherds. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. In the cradle, we see the first act of God's amazing love, while in the second act, the curtain, if you will, opens and gives way to revealing the purpose for which this cradle was even necessary. The cross takes center stage. So what's the message of the cross? So we now turn from this cradle, a beautiful picture of innocence and expectation, to a cross, which is a picture of suffering and pain, torture and death. One of my favorite Christmas hymns is written by a man named Ron Hamilton. The title of the hymn is Born to Die. Consider verse 3. It says, From his throne Jesus came, laid aside heaven's fame, in exchange for the cross of Calvary. For my gain suffered loss, for my sin he bore the cross. He was wounded and I was set free. The chorus, it reads this, Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. The whole reason for Christ being born was so that he would die so that I could live. That's the message of Christmas. In these words, we see the cradle and the cross. The cross casts its shadow over the cradle as Jesus is born in Bethlehem. This is the purpose for which Christ was born. He was born to die. And remember the words of the angel to Joseph? He said, And Mary shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was born so that he could die. And when you think about it in those terms, that seems kind of depressing, doesn't it? Jesus was born to die. The great reality is that Christ's death was not the story's end, but a pivotal moment within the narrative of Christ's provision for our salvation. See, I would agree, absolutely. If that was the end of the story, oh, wait a second. That doesn't seem so good. But it's a pivotal moment. It's a climactic moment in which Christ, the purpose for which Christ was born and died is put on full display. As we understand the love of God, as we understand the purpose for which Christ came, as he the reason for his death to secure salvation for lost souls, we see the unmistakable reality of God's amazing love for us, that he would give his son, and his son would go through the process to die for our sins. That is love. That is tremendous sacrifice. But when we see the cross for what it truly is, it doesn't have to be depressing. It shouldn't be depressing. It should be uplifting. It should be an area in which we rejoice. The Father was willing to allow His Son to pay the penalty for our sins. There was no other way for this to take place. God had to take on human flesh and die a death that we would have to die for all of eternity. But God did that Himself and paid the way for our salvation. The purpose for which Christ came to this earth was to die to pay the penalty of sin, which He did. But then He rose again the third day, claiming victory over death, leaving the tomb empty as evidence of a risen, living Savior. So, I would encourage us, don't overlook the journey from the cradle to the cross. Stop and look at the empty cross. It's empty. There's nothing there. Because He's not there. See all the suffering that Christ bore on your behalf. Let it bring you to the place where you sorrow in the fact that your sin brought Jesus to the cross. That's a reason to sorrow. But then move on from there and move from there from the tree, the cross, to the tomb. And again, stop and look inside and see that it is empty. And rejoice because Jesus lives. Death could not hold him. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered sin. He paid the debt of sin. And he rose victorious over the grave. And because he did, we can look back on this time of Christmas and enjoy the cradle of our Savior and say, wow, you came, were born for me, and you came so that you could die for me, so that you could live for me, so that I could live. This is the message of the cradle and the cross. From the cradle to the cross, we see how Christ lived a perfect example. He died a perfect sacrifice. In that he triumphs over the tomb, we see that he lives as a conquering king and he saves as a perfect savior. Remember that there is a Christ in Christmas for a reason. Christmas. It's all about Christ. It should be. He is the reason for this season. Remember him and celebrate him as the greatest gift ever given. Again, remember John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not die that everlasting death, but have everlasting life. Because of Christ's death on the cross, we can enjoy the cradle of new birth, a life with Christ that never ends, a life with him here on this earth and in heaven for eternity. That's the message of Christmas. I hope that encourages us. I hope that encourages us and helps us to just step back and take a minute and just ponder what the God of heaven did for us. Our amazing God. So a decision is offered to be made. The gift is offered and a decision needs to be made. As we consider this gift, and the question I would ask is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I pray that you do. Have you received this greatest gift of eternal life? I hope you have, but if you haven't, this great opportunity is now. The Bible tells us, therefore, being justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, do you enjoy this kind of peace with God? It goes on to say, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, Jesus, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So this reconciliation is being reconciled, brought into a right relationship with the Father. Declared righteous. This brings us into a peaceful relationship with God, never to be changed. It's a beautiful reality. It never has to be changed. It never can be changed. Once brought in, once reconciled, God forever sees us as righteous because He sees our Son's righteousness upon us. The Bible tells us once we come to saving faith, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no longer any condemnation being in Christ. And so a question for us, do you have peace with God? Knowing that your sins have been forgiven as you placed your faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. Each of us are presented with a gift. Maybe this is the first time you've heard about this gift. If it is, I pray that you'd really think hard about it. Think long and hard about it. Maybe you've been offered this gift before. But the reality is, the gift is still held out to you. Would you take it? Have you taken it? If you've taken it, praise God. If you have not, consider taking it. Keep in mind that a gift is only enjoyed when it is received. But you can receive a gift, but not really enjoy it, right? If we receive that gift, and oh, thank you so much. Here, I'm just going to set it right over here, and I'm just going to enjoy that gift being unopened, but it's in my possession. I enjoy it. Do we really enjoy it that way? And we enjoy it when we open it. What's the gift all about? That's the beauty of the birth of Christ, the gift of Christ Jesus. When we open this gift and we see, what's it all about? The past four Sundays we've been talking about the Lord is my shepherd. And that beautiful relationship of having God as our shepherd and how He provides for our every need. What a great God we serve. It's exciting to see the greatness of our God as we open up that gift and we say, wow, this is who He is. He actually wants to help me through this life and give me peace to live each day. He wants to help me to be content in this life and find satisfaction in Him. He wants to help me be courageous and not be living in fear. He wants to give me peace and joy. This is the God that we worship, and this is the gift. It's inside this gift. Open it up and see what's there. There's more to be seen than just wrapping paper in a box. The decision is yours. Will you receive and open this wonderful gift? Keep in mind that love is no longer love if it's compelled. If you're you can't force someone into love. When a heart is forced to open and receive the gift, it is no longer with love, is it? But we can offer it. Say, here it is. And God has offered it to us and says, here it is. Here it is. Consider who's giving it to you. I love you. Have you ever, some of the greatest words ever spoken are the words, very simply stated, I love you. And God says with this gift of His Son, I love you so much that I was willing to give my Son for you. Here He is. Would you receive Him? Would you open Him up? Would you check Him out? Would you trust Him as your Savior? So what will you choose? Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's basically simply placing your faith and trust alone for Christ as your Savior. Would you consider receiving that greatest gift, Jesus Christ? He'll never fail you. In Him alone is contentment, peace, joy, and love. And truly, He transcends all understanding. And in Him alone is life that never ends. I encourage you to consider Christ. We'll close with this verse. I love this verse. Two verses. Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 and 29. Jesus Himself, He says, come unto Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. To labor, it feels like you're beaten up. Life just laying you out. Heavy laden, it's like I feel like a pack mule. I'm burdened down by the cares of this world. Jesus says, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. Follow My lead is what He's saying. And you shall find rest for your soul. It's a promise. Come to Me. It's an invitation. Jesus lays it out. He laid Himself out. When we think of the great question, the great picture of the cross, how much does Jesus love you? How much does Jesus love you? This much. As He laid down on the cross and was nailed to it, I love you this much. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? That's the message of Christmas. The message of Christmas is the cradle and the cross. If you want more information about salvation, why not look on the back of the bulletin? You'll see the message is there. I would encourage you to read it over. If you have more questions, come and talk to me. I'd love to share with you more about this awesome and amazing gift. Let's move on from here, and we're going to sing two more hymns, and we'll close in just a few minutes. I'm going to sing 197, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, 197. Let's stand. 197.